800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
NBA Commissioner Adam Silver is backing free speech after receiving a lot of backlash over a previous statement on China. Silver has been trying to find middle ground of showing support for a team executive who spoke out for Hong Kong's protesters and protecting the league's growth in a basketball craze, China. Silver's statements have Democrats and Republicans criticizing the NBA commish, to which Beverly Hallberg, president of the District Media Group, says,
"When was the last time you saw Ted Cruz and Chuck Schumer agree on anything? Apparently there are still some issues that bring Republicans and Democrats together, and I think this is one that definitely warrants it. What's interesting about it is that Adam Silver, who is the NBA commissioner, has long said that he stands up for the free speech rights of players and those affiliated with the NBA. You mentioned some examples there when players have spoken out. You had LeBron James, who's called President Trump a bum. You have coaches, Steve Kerr, Greg Popovich, who have tweeted about their position on gun control. But apparently it's a step too far when you call out the Chinese government indirectly. And something to know about China, they kill their citizens. Currently, there are 3 million people who are in concentration camps. You can stand up for the Chinese people and still call out the Chinese government. But I think what this comes down to, and people are rightly seeing, that the messaging war on this, it really shows that the NBA's bottom line is about the bottom line.
Hallberg was speaking there on Fox Business. For more news, find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
So hello, it's Joe Peters. We're going to get started with one of our 55 plus segments. I have Eric Moore with me here today. Eric, say hello.
Hey Joe, how are you?
Hey,
thanks
good.
For having me here today.
Good. So we're picking your voice up, okay? What we're going to do is we're going to play a few of our paid commercials, and we'll be right back.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hot and Hunted In every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hot and Hunted In provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
So this is the point where they asked me to give you the official weather service. First of all, today's date is the 8th of October. It's a little after 4 o'clock. We're seating in downtown scenic Flemington, and we're in the Chamber Broadcast Studios. Weather forecast is as such, and it's coming off the official Android network. It is 64 degrees outside right now. It's going to go down to 54 tonight. And we're officially in the fall, it looks like. We're going to be 55 tomorrow, 63 the next day, 61 the next, 68 the other, and somewhere in the high 40s, low 50s each night. Have a little bit of rain on Wednesday, a little bit of rain again on Thursday, Friday. Seasonal. I mean, it's probably the best description I can give you for it. So a few more commercials. We'll be right back.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
When it matters most, our award-winning team of emergency physicians and nurses provides sophisticated care 24 hours a day. Superior emergency care at a moment's notice. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com, brought.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
Hey, so it's Joe Peters back again, and I'm sitting here with Eric Moore. Eric, say hello again.
Hey, Joe, how are you?
Yeah, it looks like we're recording just fine there. So what we're going to talk about today is senior care, and that's what Eric's specialty is. His company is called Assisted Living Locators, and he is located in...
Officially in Morristown, but cover all kind of north central New Jersey.
Okay.
We have different territories in New Jersey, but I'm kind of all over wherever the clients need me to be. So,
well, great. And we were just talking a little bit, and I've done a lot of people that do sort of what you do and people that have assisted care live-in services, so we'll get into some of the things that are available. I want to tell you how you could reach Eric. We'll say this a few times throughout the show. Assisted Living Locators, telephone 973-536-1250. So we could put the earphones on and look real cool, but they serve no purpose. You can do hear. It's sort of, I think earphones are good when it's noisy. That's why they wear those things in their ears on stage. But I'm glad you could make it. I mean, you came all the way down from Morristown, so thank you.
Yeah, no, thank you. This is a great opportunity to talk with you and reach out to the community, too, and let us know what we do and how we can help.
So let's go backwards and come forward. How did you get started in this business? I mean, what did you do education? Where did you grow up, education, college, high school? And
I grew up in Massachusetts and came down to New Jersey when I was in high school. My dad got relocated. Went back to school for business, finance, up in Rhode Island. Got married, had a few kids, and entered the business world, and was in finance for about 30 years.
Wow.
With different companies in the kind of the corporate world, and was a great career, but I was just looking for a little bit of a change. I'd gone through a lot of personal experiences with my family,
right,
and with friends and things, and really wanted to kind of break out of that corporate world, work for myself, do something that was really interacting with people more, that really could help them. And through some of the experiences that I went through, I really thought this was a great opportunity to work with seniors and families. Okay. And kind of...
So assisted living, I'm holding up the brochure, yeah. Is a franchise then?
It is a franchise. It was started out in 2003 in Scottsdale.
Okay.
There's about 120 locations across the U.S. We have five here in New Jersey. They're all individually owned and operated. So it's kind of the best of both worlds, where you have the local expertise of people like myself and my colleagues here.
Right.
But the overarching support of a larger national corporate office.
So do you have people on staff besides yourself doing what you're doing, or are you the sort of sole go-between, sort of the ombudsman? That's not the right word. More of a navigator, I think. Right now
it's me. I want to really dig into all aspects of it, really understand all elements of it. I've been doing it a little bit over a year.
Okay.
And really wanted to dig in. Now, do get some support, part-time from people, but really it's me. And I like it that way for now. And
I don't blame you. I'm sort of a lone wolf, too. I've had hundreds of people under me, and I spend more time doing personnel than doing a job. It's like I just want to work and have fun.
Yeah.
Make a little money, not hurt anybody, that kind of thing. So a year into it, and it sounds like you feel it's the right direction?
Yeah, no, it's definitely different, owning your own venture and really having all aspects of it. So, with working on your own, has all the elements, the good and the bad,
right.
But I really enjoy it. I like what I do, and I really like working with the families. So it's been a great
so what
experience.
Geographical territory does your franchise cover then?
We have a territory,
right?
But we are able to work very closely with our adjoining territories and other regions,
right?
Based on where the families are searching. A lot of times we get clients that are looking where their children are, and that could be one in Morristown and one in Bucks County, PA.
Right.
So we really it causes you to really reach out and to not only colleagues, but to really understand the market and what is offered in New Jersey and adjoining areas.
Well, great. I know I've had others on that do similar things. Not every company is the same. We've got several people that do in-home services. Who are you, the ones that you would sort of meld with and recommend? We have others that are doing just what you're doing, which is helping people find the right service. And then there's assisted care, and assisted care could be either, as you said, subacute after an operation, or there's an issue, and it's not a long-term issue to start with, but maybe they need to go in for rehab after a broken hip, which is subacute, I guess, in itself. And I found out, because my parents went through it, so it's where my experience has. And then when you hear somebody else going through it today, as one of my customers was talking to me about what he's going through with his dad. I said, I've been there. It's a tender time because you're not necessarily right next door. Sometimes mom's still around. Sometimes his mom and dad's still around. And I got to tell you, I don't care if you have one or two siblings or six or seven of them, one of them is always the one that takes the wheel when something like this happens. Others are too busy, don't have the money, aren't local. I know even in my case, my brother, because I was out of town, did something, and he just did the first thing that came to mind and went back to whatever he was doing. I might as well call the neighbor in. So it's a tough time for people. It really is.
It is, and we really try to get in there and understand not only the situation. We'll go in there and do an assessment of this whole situation, but also try to get to the underlying family dynamics too, because
right.
It's a stressful time. There's usually many people involved,
yep.
All with different opinions, and if we can be in there and be kind of somewhat of a mediator or a liaison between the family members.
You could have put your collar on backwards and be the priest or rabbi.
It can really help them, and then it's not one sibling against the remainder, but it's rather, a collective group trying to get to what are some good alternatives.
I remember grew up in Metuchen, New Jersey,
and we were middle class. Now, it was a nice, Metuchen's a pretty high-end area now, but back then where we were was middle class. And I remember the heated argument going on down in my kitchen while I was trying to sleep and saying to myself, something's not right. And it was the brothers and sisters getting together to discuss what did they do in the situation. And some people have more experience with it than others. Maybe their husband or wife had gone through it and they know. Some people think they know what they're talking about and don't have a clue. The most dangerous person in the world is the one that's convincing and doesn't know what they're talking about. Right. So you need to bring an expert in. And I personally, I see, and I won't name it, but there's commercials on television that make it sound like all these services are free and just call us. Well, no, their service is free. And they're going to introduce you to one of these nice places that they're showing you, but that's not free. Right. And I know when my mom and dad went in, when my mom finally had to go into, it was hospice, and she lasted 6 months in hospice, my dad had to pledge half of the property, less their funeral expenses, mm-hmm. to cover the bills. And fortunately, he had enough cash to cover it, so he never had to. They don't make you sell the house, typically, because you have the right to live in a house you've lived in. But it's a financial crisis, too.
Sure.
Or maybe not what you thought you would have to do at the end. So it's a financial situation that you weren't prepared for. And that's a crisis, okay? Because people say, oh, my God, what's next? And Marilyn's, my dad then, so my mother went into a Middlesex County facility. She lasted 6 months in hospice and passed. And we were all hoping that she was passed because she obviously wasn't coming out of it. And financially, my father came out okay, and he was solvent. But then as he got older, I remember the next-door neighbor calling me and says, Joe, I don't want to tell you this, but I've had to help your father up 5 or 6 times right around sunset. And you need to take some action because I fear for his safety. So I looked in it with his doctor, and his doctor said, yeah, it's called sundown stress syndrome, and people get very confused right around with the shadows, and they don't know what time it is and where they're at and whatever. And we eventually, I could never run for president because we eventually got an immigrant who was doing just this kind of work to live with my father for 5 or 6 years. And paid him off the books, and that kind of thing is around.
Oh, sure, yeah, definitely.
And it worked for us, and I'm not sure it would work for everybody else. It wasn't perfect, but it worked.
Yeah.
But I know now Marilyn's brother, who's older than her, is going through it, and they went to a nursing care facility where they had to put like $250,000 into it and then come up with $3,000 a month. And there is no Medicaid side of this. You need to come up with the money every month or you go somewhere else. So you better have an annuity that's kicking in $3,000. That's $36,000 a year. That's a lot of money. It doesn't sound like a lot, but to keep coming up with it every month. So not everybody is ready in that position.
And that's, you know, I think that's part of what the benefit of what, you know, my company offers is, you know, we go in and we find out what are the different areas going on. You know, what financially can they afford? You know,
right.
What income do they have, assets? You know, do they plan on looking into Medicaid? Do they have long-term care insurance? You know, trying to get an assessment of what their situation is because,
right.
You know, a lot of the options are very costly. And figuring out, you know, given what their needs are, health-wise, socially, medically, and also what they can afford financially, that's where I think, you know, it takes somebody who knows not only the properties and how the pricing works in these different communities, but also someone who can help them determine, you know, what should they look into? You know, what, you know, experts can help them in the area.
What are the options and what are you not thinking of? What don't you know about? And I know I did a talk with a faith-based place in Somerset called Heath Village is somebody else. She comes in here as well. They're up in Hackettstown. Mm-hmm. This was one of the Wolf Foundation places. And it's the Wolf home. It's faith-based, being kosher, but it's not strictly kosher. But they had three different levels. They mm-hmm. had income constrained, and they bought a facility that started it, and then they built a single and double room facility. They actually were single rooms and apartment facility where you could come in depending on, and it was rent only, but not cheap rent. So, you know, like everyone was $250,000 down and maybe $3,600 a month. This may be $3,000 or $4,000 a month, but right. no money down.
Yeah.
But the same issue, other than when you run out of money, you'd probably go into the income constrained.
Right.
But then they had another door out, and that was the memory or the I mentioned my mother, the hospice division.
Sure.
And all of it was kosher. They had kosher food. They had rabbis on site. It was really rather nice. And myself being Catholic, I'm looking at all of this, and I'm saying, wow, I'm impressed.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm very impressed. And I know because Somerset County right now is about 24% Asian, which includes Indians, and not the American Indians, but our Indian friends from the East Asian East. They have facilities that are Indian based. They follow their different religions, and I didn't realize that existed until I started working with those guys. I said, "Well, Dad was here. Where's Dad?" And he said, "Oh, he's in." We have an Indian-based thing, and he's in it. So
yeah.
The different sects take care of their own.
Yeah, no, and I think it's interesting because, you know, people drive by these communities and they don't know what makes them all unique
right.
or different. And so, you know, what you mentioned, there are many faith-based different ones. You know, Catholic, Jewish, Methodist.
Right.
You know, and they have different amenities and different services that. Make people comfortable in what they're looking for, you know, what they're used to.
Right.
Whether that's food or activities. So I think that's an important part of, you know, when people are looking for kind of the next step and the next living options, they want somewhere that that's going to feel like home and that they're going to be comfortable in and have some of the things that they're used to.
And one of the other options is somebody can come into your home. Now, it's not going to be free. There is some that's paid for mm-hmm. by insurance, but most of my people say very little. There's some insurance capability, but if you're thinking insurance is going to pay for it, you're mistaken.
Right. Yeah, correct.
Yeah.
So yeah, Medicare doesn't typically cover right. custodial care, as they say.
And most of our listeners don't understand Medicare from Medicaid. Medicare is when you're 62 or 65, whatever your age is that you hit it. It's a wonderful insurance plan. It's something you've been paying for out of Social Security, and it covers you, but as the advertisement, it's a great gap, and it shows a water cooler only 80% full, mm-hmm. and a woman says, that's what Medicare covers, and this little part here is what a supplemental policy would cover. And supplemental policies could cost anywhere from $50 to maybe $200 or $300 a month, depending on how you join it. And if you join it with no conditions and at an early age, they're usually inexpensive, but the price goes up every month. But I got to tell you, I'm on Medicare plus a supplement, and I've been past 65 for quite a few years already, and I don't pay anything anywhere. I mean, the only two things I've ever paid for have been a tetanus shot. For some god unknown reason, they don't cover tetanus shots. And when I need my rubella, now there's a rubella supplement or something. I had the rubella 2 or 3 years ago. They tell me to go to the drugstore. It's $75. If I do it at the doctor's office, it's $325. But everything else has been paid for. And yeah, there's a little bit of a deductible. They still don't cover 100%, but I got to say they cover 99%. So you can reasonably be insured between Medicare and a supplement for about $200 a month, and it's about $135 or something for the Medicare Part A and B. But when you don't have that, and that's a point I want to get to, then Medicaid kicks in. Now, Medicaid comes, the money comes from the same place that Medicare comes from. It comes from the federal government, but it's administered by the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's I don't want to call it welfare, but it's state-administered funds, so you can call it whatever you want.
Right.
A lot of bureaucracy, and I know I've got a policy that if I was ever to need in-house care, I've got so much a month for 3.5 years, and then the thing is, okay, you're going to be pretty close to death before you're entitled to that anyway, but if you live past the 3.5 years, well, then you'll have to go on Medicaid. So Medicaid is the safety net that is better than sleeping on a park bench, but it may be not what you think you want.
Right.
It's not.
I mean, the government and these Medicaid really wants people to spend, you know, their own funds
first,
and then when people have exhausted their funds, you know, they can apply for it. And it looks at kind of three different avenues: how much monthly income you have,
right,
how much you have in assets.
Right.
You have to have below a certain amount of assets, and then you're medically in need of assistance. So you can kind of have three different tests that they'll look for to qualify for Medicaid, but it's there for people that, you know, essentially after you've used your own private funds.
Right, and I know in other cases, people have gone into a nursing facility and they will take care of you at a level that you go into until your funds are gone, and then you go into a different wing, which is an income constraint. Same nursing. Some do, some don't. It depends. There's so many ways to do this. That's mm-hmm. why a person like you is needed. I mean, I deal with Janet Keebler and Tom Bay and Roger Hill, and they're all in the area, and they all have, we just start by coming in for an hour or two as you need us, and we get to know mom or dad, and we get to help mom or dad, and there is some insurance for that, but once again, if it's 10%, it's a lot, and as it gets worse, we're going to put more hours in, and they have, I'm impressed with all three, because all three have 10 W-2 people, not 1099 people, which means they're employees, they have benefits, they're vetted, they're security checked, and it's a hell of a lot better than what I did with my dad, which found a woman or man word of mouth, and he just happened to work out. I would say he was probably a 95% match. He was still a man, he still had his issues, but it worked. And as I said, I can never run for president because he's in effect an illegal alien, and
right,
I supported him. I'm not advocating it's right or wrong, but it goes on all the time, and you'll be amazed where these people are coming from.
Yeah. Well, it's great that we have companies like Janet and some of these others that can provide all these services, you know, for whatever people's needs are, whether it's companion care or, you know, making some meals, doing errands, doctor's visits. It provides a little extra support.
Right.
When people need it, if they're not ready to move somewhere, most people want to stay at home. I'll probably want to stay at home as long as I can, and that's what people want to try to do. But you know, you also need to be safe and get help.
Yep.
And so I think having partners like that in the community is great, because you can still manage that. There's also great services too that you know, with adult daycare,
right,
transportation services, a lot of things offered by counties and the state as well that can help. It's not either all or nothing. You know,
right,
you have different options, and that's where, you know, we recognize. So, you know, our goal is not to have people move into a community that they don't need to yet.
Right.
Ours is to, you know, educate them on the alternatives, help them find what they're looking for, and just, you know, be genuinely a good person and help them out to help them kind of fill some of the gaps.
So I guess everybody's sitting out there listening, the two of us, and saying, Joe, ask him if there's a fee for his services. And I think I know the answer, because I've asked you this before. You are not fee-based. You get a little bit of placement money from people that you place them with, and that's how you survive.
Exactly. It's no cost to the families that,
right,
I work with. It's you know, I enter into contracts with different providers, whether these different communities or service providers, to you know, it's more referral based.
Right.
So similar to like a real estate agent, where you'd get you know, enter into a contract with different communities and get a certain commission for,
right,
it. So that's how I get compensated. So it's, again, it's no cost to the families, which helps helps them, and you know, it's can be a point person for them along the way. You know, it's a stressful situation sometimes when they're trying to sort out what options are out there, and I can be that, hopefully that constant person throughout the process.
So you should be the first call. I mean, the first call may be the doctor or the attorney, or maybe even the financial advisor.
Yeah.
And probably a lot of your referrals come from those three.
Yeah. No, I mean, I would love if I were the first call and help them figure out, because it's not typically just one decision, you know, where we need to move.
Right.
A lot of times that means they have to maybe sell a house, they need real estate, they need to downsize, declutter, you know, they need maybe an elder law attorney to help with their paperwork, they need temporarily some at-home health assistance, you know, financial, it could be any number of services, and that's where I spend a lot of time trying to build good partnerships in the community to help them when, you know, again, to be that point person. You know, do you know a good elder law attorney in the Flemington area? Sure I do, you know.
And so. I had one just recently where I think you met him. Elliot Goldstein's an attorney in Somerville. And he called me and says, Joe, I've got a couple. Their uncle passed. The nephew got the estate, but his uncle's sister, which is his mother, is 82. And they just felt it was safer that he got it and he took care of her. Why don't you go over and meet with him? I'm like, go over and meet with him in a house that 1950s. You think Dwight Eisenhower lived here, okay? Every room was full of memories, okay, and paper and boxes and clutter. And they had decided, because they drove up from Florida to do it, they're going to take a week and clean the house out. And they had been there a week and hadn't finished the first room. Because two things happen. One is, it's too good to throw away. And two is, there's memories. Everything you lift has a memory or a story or whatever. And they called me, and I said, look, I'm going to take you on an unemotional ride. You clear out everything that you want, and I'll have a person clear out the rest of the house. And there's a fellow named Walsh Senior Solutions. I don't know if you've bumped into him. But he literally cleaned his house out in 2 days, and he did it at a very reasonable price. So, okay, now we got the four walls and the floor. My God, the walls and floor need some attention. So we had to paint the house and get it ready, and then we, since it was a 1950s house, the septic system failed, there was an underground oil tank, there were all the things that could go wrong, went wrong, and it took us 8 months to get the house sold twice, because the first one fell through because the town was taking so long. So these things take time. And I think the story that I can relate to best is I moved in the day, I moved into a, not a seniors development, but like an old money development. Everybody in there was older than me, and I'm no youngster. And they all went away for the week, summer, for the winter. You know, I was like the only guy in the development. One guy had a funeral parlor he used to own. Another guy had a retail store. Another guy next to me was a doctor. And I moved in the day his wife died. So his name is Hart. And I remember his kids start showing up more and more. And his son was a doctor as well. And we got to know his kids. And they said, we're going to have to put Dad's house on the market. And our advisor has given us somebody besides you, because they knew I was a real estate agent. I said, that's fine. I can understand that. I'm not the only game in town. And they were going through the house with Art, trying to take and clean out the house, getting it ready for market. And about 2 hours, I hear a knock on the door, and they said, can Art sit with you for the rest of the day? Because we loved him. He was like an old uncle. And I said, what's going on? He says, everything is a story. Everything we dare to put in a box, he has to tell us a story about. Even the stuff we want, we're not getting in the box, because there's a story. So it's a tough time, I think is what I'm trying to say.
It is, and it's an overwhelming time, you know, so what?
And you have other things to do. And you have other financial and time obligations. And you've got to work. You've got to take care of your family. There's only 168 hours in a week. And you got to clean this house out. Or you've got to get mom to a credible person to take care of her. And there's a lot of places that she can go. And I think that's where something like assisted living locators, you're not the only one, but you're the one I'm talking to today, can be of a great help. And we're talking with Eric Moore, and he can be reached at 973-536-1250. I'm looking at your brochure, and you say a no-cost referral service. Well, that's exactly what we see on TV. But you're in person. You're not calling a switchboard. You show up, and you're there.
Exactly. Yeah,
and that's a big difference.
Yeah, no, we really try to pride ourselves on the personalized side of things. We like to meet with the families, not only the senior, but the children, anybody who's involved in the decision process.
Right.
To try to get everybody on the same page, let people have some input, get to the real, you know, crux of things. You know?
How many hours do you typically, probably it depends. That's, as a matter of fact, when I sold software, the answer was always, it's like old people, it depends. How much time do you typically spend with a family?
Initially, it's a couple of hours. Okay. On the initial assessment, and then typically it's quite a few meetings after that to follow up. You know, once you get the assessment and figure out what they're looking for, what their care needs are financially, then I usually go back and narrow out some alternatives for them, really narrow it down, come back with some good solutions for them. It's still their decision, 100%, but what I try to do is narrow up based on what they're looking for and what's out there that fits, that kind of match make their needs with what I know is out there in the market. So then I would you know, schedule appointments, you know, narrow it down to a few good solutions for them. Schedule the appointments with a different property if it's at a community. Take them on a tour. Make sure that, you know, they're not overwhelmed by everything going on.
Right.
And we're asking all the questions that I know are important to them. Have a recap of, you know, what their likes and dislikes are with each community. And you know, really help them navigate through the process. So each time we meet, I think there's more and more trust there. And so I'm able to help them.
So we have, I don't care which community you are in, Huntington County is a rather affluent county. We're either number one or number two per capita income per household in the nation, depending on the month of the year. Somerset's usually the other number one or two. But both counties have, we call Alice, they're income constrained but actively working and minimal asset people. And these are typically, we say, and I went through a course both in Huntington and Somerset on this with United Way, and Alice stands for asset limited, income constrained but working. And they tell us, these are the people that are pumping your gas. These are the people that are ringing your groceries. These are the people that can't find a 40-hour job with benefits and are not far from having a financial difficulty. Mm-hmm. And those people grow up, and those people become seniors and have these problems. What happens when you hit somebody who been living in an apartment for 40 years, and has no assets, no income to speak of other than Social Security or welfare, but needs now senior care? What do you do then? Is that something you get involved with yourself?
I still want to meet with them and figure out how I can help them. And a lot of times, you know, it's referring them to me. Maybe it's a specialist with Medicaid, you know, someone who can really specialize in the different ways to look at their unique situation. It could be, you know, finding out if they're a veteran, if they applied for the veterans benefits that they may be entitled to. It a lot of times it's just, you know, asking a lot of questions, kind of being there to just kind of help them piece it together. But many times I'll just have to refer to an expert in a given area, whether it's Medicaid or an elder law, or I will be knowledgeable of certain lower income senior housing. But, you know, it really is unique to everybody and their situation. So it really differs quite a bit.
I've got to admit, there is some income-constrained housing. We call it, I guess it's income-constrained. It's low-income or moderate-income housing. And those facilities usually have a wait list. You have to make under a certain limit. You have to have under a certain income. You can have a little bit of assets. But those people get old, too, mm-hmm. and they've been in the complex, and it's now time to move on. Some of those complexes have exit doors into other facilities, or a facility like the Wolf Center has, which is, okay, if you have some assets, we can take you next door, but if you're really income constrained, you're going to stay in the Medicaid section of it.
Right.
And you can be on Medicaid for the rest of your life.
Yeah. And then in those cases, it's good to be knowledgeable about, okay, which places do take Medicaid directly, which are maybe a little bit more in line with what they're looking for, you know, which may be a little bit nicer, have a better care reputation. Yeah, so it's still important to know all the different communities, whether it's for lower-income people or people that can, you know, have all the funds in the world. So
people who are sitting out there saying, I don't have enough money to talk to this guy, it doesn't sound like that's the case. It sounds like you would take a call and help anybody who called.
Yeah, no, I've certainly, everybody's in a different situation, and
right.
I certainly would help people however I could, whether that's dealing with one of my partners or myself or one of the communities that I work with. You know, it's still the goal is to help people, you know, point them in the right direction and help them get closer to a solution.
So once again, we're talking to Assisted Living Locators, Eric Moore, 973-536-1250. Let's talk about memory, because Alzheimer's, which isn't necessarily the name for everything, but it's the best known name. And I've gone through several clinics. We have a seniors organization here in Hunterdon County that Linda Bryant heads, and she did an Alzheimer's clinic, which was free 2-hour nights, 1 week apart. It was eye-opening.
Yeah.
I mean, the first night they talked about hoarding, and it was eye-opening what they're experiencing in hoarding. I mean, we have a woman in a house in a very high-end area of Hunterdon County, houses selling typically in $750 and up, which is a lot of money in Hunterdon mm-hmm. County. Who had more red Solo cups in her basement. You couldn't even get down the basement stairs.
Wow.
And she just hoarded red Solo cups. She got off them. Dad died a long time ago. Mom was by herself. The other issue we have is people not only are outliving their money, but half the genes are the other side of the family. In a lot of cases, they're outliving their kids.
Yeah.
And she had been assigned to, we have a stewardship program here in Hunterdon County where if there's a senior and they need help and there's nobody left to help them, they take care of the books for mom or dad. And sometimes it's the kids that are the problem they have to protect them against, that the kids are taking half the money.
Sure, of course, yeah.
So that was the first night. The second night, and I don't remember what the third night is, but the second night was, of the 70 or 80 people in the audience, 50 or 60 of them were attached to loved ones who had Alzheimer's. And they got up and told their stories. And Marilyn and I looked at each other and we said, oh my God, these people are chained, literally chained to loved ones and can't let go.
Yeah.
And the loved one needs them to talk to and help them. One had a mom and dad in the Carolinas, and there was a sister nearby, but sister was not the one that was the most helpful. They were. And they'd call mom. I remember this story, and mom's, oh dear, so good to be here. Let me get your father on the phone. And dad would get on the phone, and 2 minutes later, they'd give the phone back to mom. And the whole conversation would start over again like it never happened. And that's Alzheimer's. It's a progressively worse disease, and the statistic they gave us was that if you live to 65, you're probably not going to see very much Alzheimer's at all. If you live to 75, you have a 25% chance. If you live to 85, you probably have a better than 50% chance. So it progresses.
Yeah.
It's just like the cataract on your eyes or other things. That it's part of the aging process. And not all dementia is Alzheimer's, but the big misnomer that came out of this, and it was amazing because I didn't realize it was that nobody dies from Alzheimer's. It's not a death disease. It's a mind disease where you progressively get worse, and in effect, when you die from a natural cause. So people have good genes and live a long time, which is not always a blessing.
Yeah, yeah.
And I heard somebody say it best. They said, what we're trying to do is not get you to live to 115 in a nursing home. What we're trying to do with all of our programs is get you to live into your 90s in your own home so that you can have the life you want. And then the family decides where you go next if you're still in shape.
Yeah, I think the goal is people dementia and otherwise is just to get people to thrive as much as they can for as long as they have.
Right.
You know, and I think not only with the communities are understanding so much more about dementia and Alzheimer's and the different forms,
right?
But also about what the needs are of the caregivers that are burned out, like you just examined.
Right.
You know, all the different support groups, the Alzheimer's Association, and that's where, you know, I can also help, you know, point them in the right direction, because part of the battle is to keep the caregivers healthy too.
And even just recognizing it and knowing the signs. I mean, I can tell when I'm working with a senior, and every once in a while they don't answer a question, whether it be email or text or just something they said they were going to follow up on. And I start to wonder, you know, am I starting to see early signs here? But, you know, I can't remember everything either. So, And I'm out working a full-time job in my 70s. But it affects people differently, and it's in the genes. And I think Bob Wise was the head of our hospital system here, and he said at this dinner benefit for all of the retirement programs in the county, but Linda Bryant, who set up most of them, was the featured guest. And he said, let me put this in a way that you may not be thinking about. He says, every year we live, the life expectancy at birth is a year and a quarter than a year before. He says, so, okay, that doesn't mean you're going to live forever. It just means people born later are going to live longer than you're going to live. So you're going to live maybe into your 90s, where maybe your parents lived into their late 70s, early 80s, right, and their grandparents into the early. But he said, at the rate we're going, by the year 2030, the average lifespan at birth will be 130 years old.
Oh, jeez.
That is
a scary
statistic.
Thing. Yeah.
And then one I just heard in the last month was that we are, for the first time ever in the United States, not just New Jersey, we have more people over 55 than we have under 18.
Yeah.
Because we're not having kids the way we used to, for lots of reasons, expenses, convenience, different beliefs. But we still have all the seniors that came from generations before. And a result of that is we now have five generations in the workplace. Mm-hmm. We have the millennials staring into their phones. They're in the workforce somewhere between 20 and 35. At 36, 37, you're starting to get into the Gen X's, Y's, and Z. I think they are Z. But the sub-millennials, we haven't got a name for them yet, who turned 18 last year for the first time, are in a workforce. So we got some millennials, Gen X, Gen Y, and then I think Gen Y was the baby boomers, and Gen Z were the, let's give them names because you can relate to them. The people went to war, came back, and went back to work. They were the silent generation. Then were the baby boomers. They had kids when they came back. And then the kids had the Gen X, and then we got the next two. It's a marvelous life if you can put up with each other.
Yeah.
But when you get to the end of it and you need some help, there's always an expert like you and others. But since you're my guest today, we're talking about you.
Because we are living so much longer, and as we get older, our care definitely changes. And
What if somebody has a relative that's not, they're here listening to the show, but their relatives in Albany or Phoenix or somewhere, is that something you can help them get started with?
Sure. You know, whether they're looking, to bring someone here or looking at options in New Jersey versus Arizona, you know, we can help them figure out what are the options and the differences there, whether it be cost. And so that's one of the benefits of having that national presence, is we really can help people in coming and outgoing as much as they would like.
That's great. I mean, I've learned a lot just sitting here. I think I've talked to other people, but you've got programs listed for assisted living, homes and communities. We talked about Alzheimer's, in-home companion. We talked about independent retirement communities, short-term respite. What does that mean? That's just came out of had an operation.
Yeah, short-term respite just means, maybe you fell, you were in the hospital for 3 days, then you were in rehab for, the 20 days. You're still a little weak, a little frail. You're not 100%. You could use a little bit more time.
Yeah.
A lot of times you can move into one of these communities and do respite care for 30 days, 60 days. It's a great alternative to continue your rehab, get three square meals a day, get a lot of support to make you that much stronger, and hope with the hopes that you could go back home or go wherever you were before that. But it's a good alternative as opposed to deciding permanently one way or the other. They have this respite care, which is a great option for people.
Once again, we've got Eric Moore from Assisted Living Locators, and he's at 973-536-1250. One of the things, the most dangerous promises I've ever heard made, and I've seen it in my own family, and I've seen it in in-laws' families, is, "Mom, I promise you, you'll never go to a nursing home." It's a promise you cannot make, and until you realize why, you think I'm wrong. But it's out of control at some point in time. There's a point in time where not only cannot control it yourself anymore. Mom needs more physical help than I'm capable of giving her, either physically or financially or time-wise. But secondly, it's becoming dangerous. She needs to be watched, especially if you need to go into a memory care. These are facilities that, with people in it that are, they've done it 1,000 times, and you're going through it for the first time. So who would you want to work with?
Exactly, and you're absolutely right. You know, most people want that promise, but it's not something you could ever decide.
No, you say if you have to make it to make mom or dad happy, I don't know if it's the right thing to do, but you have to realize yourself there'll be a point in time, especially if they're living a lot of years to go, that you're not going to be able to keep that promise, and sometimes it hurts. I was watching a country show. I guess it's Ken Burns did a thing on country music. It's 8 2-hour episodes, and it was very enlightening. And last night, he had Kathy Mattea on, and Kathy Mattea wrote a song with her husband, Rodney Crowe, about "Where Have You Been?" And the song was about a woman in a nursing home that had lost all her mental facilities, and her husband was separated from her. He was living in the same nursing home on another floor. But until you go through this, you don't realize they are separated after a while, to the point where they don't remember each other. Mm-hmm. And they wheeled him in because she was going to die. And she said, "Where have you been?"
Oh, yeah.
And it was such a touching song. And she told the story how somebody had come in to see her at a show. And the woman had said, "That was my favorite song you ever sang. And the husband leaned over and said, "She's having a tough time because she just lost her mother today, and she still wanted to come see you." And I'm saying, wow. You know, it's captured in music. It's an interesting, and I've got tears in my eyes about it because I remember my parents. It's a tough time.
Yeah,
it's a time that you face, and you're not alone. And there's people like Eric that can help you understand what your options are. And you shouldn't be afraid of the expenses, because there's a facility for every expense level. But at the same time, I think there's some deceiving things you see on TV where they show you all these beautiful facilities and they say, "And our service is free."
Yeah.
But the services you're showing you isn't free. You need some money to get into some of that.
And sometimes it takes a little searching. You know, it may not be 5 minutes from your house or the exact thing you're looking for or the exact price, but there are, you know, typically some great alternatives out there for people if you're willing to.
So our time is up. What haven't I asked you that you would like to say? What had you had hoped to say most when you came today?
Oh, I think it's great to be here and be able to talk to you and the community and just let people know there's a service like this out there. You know, when I was going through some issues with my family, I didn't know there was somebody like me out
right.
there. I had to figure a lot of it out on my own, and that helped get me knowledgeable
right.
about certain things. But certainly, any way to make it easier for families, it's a tough time for everyone, and any way that you can help make it that much easier and help people navigate through it. So I say it's just it's just a phone call away to ask questions. It's no cost. Get some help. Get some support. Get some answers. You know, a
Beautiful.
Lot of times it's just education and finding out what's out there and where to start. So
well,
I'm
Eric,
happy to do that.
Thank you for joining me. Eric can be reached at 573-536-1250. My name is Joe Peters. I'm at 908-238-0118. Both of us would be happy to talk to you, and I can introduce you back to Eric. And I'll be back next week with an update on what our real estate market is doing. Thank you for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump's personal attorney, Rudy Giuliani, says he will not comply with a subpoena to testify in the Ukraine scandal. Giuliani says the only way he would testify is if the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, Democrat Adam Schiff, is removed. Regarding Congressman Schiff, Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio says the only reason we didn't hear from the ambassador of the EU, Gordon Sondland, is because information was leaked in the hearing last week.
Well, he didn't come because the process is so darn unfair. The administration saw what happened to Special Envoy Ambassador Volker when he testified for almost 9 hours last Thursday. When he testified, Adam Schiff selectively leaked parts of his testimony, 67 pages of text messages, Neil. And they pick a handful, pull them out of context, and put those out there, but they won't release the full transcripts.
That audio courtesy of Fox News, and you're listening to USA Radio News.
So there's this guy named Jordan, and he's a healthy guy. He's a dad of six, and he works as a guide in Alaska. But then he goes to the doctor, and he's diagnosed with cancer, stage 4. And here's the thing. He had switched from medical insurance to MediShare, which is a Christian healthcare sharing ministry. So the question for Jordan and his wife, Jenny, was, is this really going to work?
Are medical bills exceeded $160,000. MediShare members shared all our bills.
And it was about more than just the money, too. This is a real community.
MediShare is a family, a group of people that stick with you through the hardest times of your life. I just don't know how I could have done it without MediShare.
It's so worth looking into. There's a reason this is growing so fast. If you want to find out more, here's a number for you. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
The federal deficit continues to expand under President Trump. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes in Washington.
The federal deficit is ballooning to its highest point in 7 years. The Congressional Budget Office estimating it's at $984 billion.